One of the other hardest working men in the business is Matt Velasquez. You can find his work for the Journal Sentinel. Matt, thanks for joining us, man. How was your Christmas, buddy?
Yeah, glad to be with you guys. Christmas was good. Philly was enjoyable. Maybe not for the Bucks, but I think it was a great crowd, great atmosphere. Food and drinks to be had after, so, you know, life is good.
Nice, that's all that matters. I wanted to ask you about that crowd and that atmosphere, because yesterday, especially in the first half, that game felt like a playoff atmosphere, like an Eastern Conference Finals atmosphere. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. I mean, that place, you know, I think you forget watching the Bucks at Pfizer Forum, that Pfizer Forum isn't all that big relative to other NBA arenas. And so when you get, you know, a sellout capacity crowd, it's about 18,000. You know, there they had over 21,000 people, and they were all loud and into the game and, like, unified, and, like, they were, you know, they were very loud. And it was wonderful. I mean, I enjoyed it. You know, that's the kind of atmosphere that when you go to a game that you want and that you expect from a Christmas Day, like, kind of rivalry game, and they certainly delivered.
Hey, Matt, it's Stephanie Sutton. First of all, Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, too.
Yeah, Brian and I were discussing, you know, we were watching the game yesterday, but we were also busy with our families and our lives. And every now and then my son would be like, oh my gosh, Mom, they're down by 29. You were there. You were at the game. You saw every play. Just take us through what happened.
Well, I mean, it was one of those days where the Bucks played about as bad as you could expect from them for at least the first half and definitely through the third quarter. While the Sixers, they did a lot of things they don't normally do. They shot 44 threes and made 21 of them. They tied a franchise high in three-pointers made. I think this season they were averaging like 29 three-point attempts a game. And I know that's something that the Bucks defense kind of allows. They tend to let teams shoot more threes while packing in the paint and really stopping teams there. But, you know, this was kind of one of those outlier games where, you know, teams got hot. Where the guys got hot on the Sixers, and suddenly, you know, it was just an avalanche, and the Bucks had really no way of digging themselves out. And Giannis, too, he struggled. You know, he was 8 of 27 from the floor. Every time he got inside, the Sixers were being really physical with him. You know, he wasn't getting foul calls. He wasn't able to finish at the rim the way he normally does. And you know, it was just kind of a perfect storm of everything the Bucks couldn't have. You know, and obviously, you know, the 29-point margin at one point is what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And Matt, I wanted to talk about that a little bit, especially with the foul calls and with Giannis, because yesterday I don't think the officiating matters in that game, because Philadelphia is not going to shoot like that on a regular basis. I mean, Tobias Harris hits 5 threes. Jason Richardson, it looked like it was 2008 again. He hits 4 of them. But Giannis, I feel like, what is it going to take for him to start getting some of these superstar calls? Do you have to go to the NBA Finals? Because, like, you go back to Michael Jordan's early years when he used to get bullied by the Detroit Pistons. It really took him until he won that first Finals or maybe second Finals before he started getting the Jordan rules where he was able to push off. But Giannis gets hit in the eyeball, no foul call, so obviously he's a little upset. But what do you think it's going to take for him to start getting these calls?
I mean, I don't even know if he's looking for superstar calls. I think he's looking for just, like, actual calls, like any call. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, he doesn't necessarily flop. Like, he doesn't really accentuate, you know, contact as often as he could. And he is so strong going to the hoop that, like, sometimes he gets hit. A lot of times he gets hit. And, you know, the refs just, it's hard to tell because it's happening so fast and it doesn't really stop the fluidity of his motion that it makes it tough. You know, and I think that, you know, you're right. Like, the officiating yesterday, like, it wasn't the thing that swung the game or changed the game. They were consistent, letting it go both ways. They were letting the guys play, be really physical. And that's kind of the book on, you know, what teams are going to try and do to Giannis. And if the Bucks can't kind of return the favor in kind, then they're going to be in trouble. I mean, but it wasn't like there was a, you know, the egregious calls were only going one way. I mean, there were only 20 fouls called in the whole game. Only 23 free throws were shot, you know, by both teams. It's something that, like, we wouldn't expect to see in a game that was that physical. But, you know, I think for Giannis, you just need to keep doing what he's doing. I think over time, the NBA's officials, you know, they watch film, they see what's going on, and maybe I'm expecting too much of them, but I think over the course of the season, I'm sure the Bucks are on them. I'm sure they're, you know, say, hey, like, look at this, look back at this, make sure you're calling things correctly for all our guys, especially Giannis. And then over the course of time, maybe they'll get it. Maybe they'll start to, you know, see the physicality and the way that he's absorbing contact. But maybe not. It might just be something that he and the Bucks have to deal with and probably have been dealing with for a while.
Matt Ryan just talked about it. Let's go through that one play where Giannis gets poked in the eye in the fourth quarter. I mean, everyone's still talking about that, even though the Bucks obviously at that point, it kind of the game was out of reach. But talk about the fact that happened. Nothing really, no calls were made. Giannis is pissed. He goes after the ref. He gets a technical. I mean, you don't usually see that from Giannis during a game.
No. Usually he's pretty measured. And, you know, he'll talk to the refs and he'll, you know, have a kind of a conversation with them. But I think in that moment, just all the frustrations of the day just bubbled up. I mean, getting poked in the eye, like, it sucks. Like, it really hurts.
It did look like it hurt.
There's nothing worse, in my opinion. I hate getting poked in the eye.
I mean, if you get hit in the head, like, that's one thing. Like, that's kind of, it happens. But, like, getting, like, poked in the eye and, like, getting nothing to show for it. And then, you know, he's on the ground there and he sees the other end where Al Horford gets fouled. So, oh, well, he gets fouled. But, you know, and he gets a call. But, you know, I just got, you know, poked in the eye. You know, on a drive, and it was like, I think to him it probably felt like it was pretty obvious, you know, and nothing happens because of it. And I think that at that point he just kind of lost it a little bit, and, you know, he went after Tony Brothers to tell him, you know, that was a foul. And, you know, he's like, look in my eye. And the eye didn't look good at all. I mean, seeing him in the locker room afterwards, it was all red and swollen and, you know, kind of like watery, and it's the kind of thing where, you know, I don't know if it could, you know, be worse than just a poke. It could be something that, you know, maybe he has something wrong, you know, with his eye. Maybe not major, but, you know, could it be something that affects,
but I,
you
like
know,
seeing
his availability
him
for next game? It could.
Fired up. Didn't you kind of like seeing him fired up? I mean, you never see Giannis that kind of crazy. Like,
yeah.
That angry.
And he's not yelling at his own assistant coach that'll left him up, so that's kind of cool, too, when he does get that fired up. Matt, really quick. Hey, yesterday, so I'm watching that game, and I've been watching a lot of Philadelphia this year because I was really high on them. I actually liked the moves that they made in the offseason, but I just didn't think they had enough three-point shooting. Obviously, Tobias Harris probably not going to knock down 5 three-pointers. The way they shot yesterday, that was the most complete game they played all year. Do you see them being a huge matchup nightmare for the Bucks, or was that just one regular season game? I mean, they haven't played in Christmas in forever, so that crowd was pumped up. But the way they're able to defend Giannis with Al Horford, I thought that was a huge pickup for him. And when Joel Embiid plays the way that he played yesterday, like he's actually motivated, he's one of the top players in the league. Do you think they're a matchup nightmare for the Bucks?
I mean, I think they're a really tough matchup. Not necessarily a nightmare. I wouldn't go that far yet. But I mean, let's be honest. This is a team that we all thought was going to be, you know, the team the Bucks, you know, would have to face in the Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, they might not be necessarily in that spot in the standings right now, but I expect over the course of the season that Philly will rise up above the other contenders in the East, and they and the Bucks will be 1-2 in some order going into the playoffs, and that's what it's going to take. Like, if you want to go to the NBA Finals, I think for each of these teams, you know, the path leads through each other. And Philly definitely has the size, the versatility, and even to some extent, the shooting. I mean, they haven't necessarily shot the ball a ton from long range, but I think over the last, you know, few weeks, they have been shooting it fairly well, even though they don't use it very often. So I think they have all those pieces to be able to, you know, make things tough on the Bucks, and certainly put together games like we saw yesterday. It doesn't mean that'll always happen. I think that, you know, they're not always going to shoot that well as much as they might want to shoot three-pointers, because that's what the Bucks defense has given them. They're always going to make basically 50% of them. Giannis, you know, he had trouble yesterday, but in the past, it's not like he has had a ton of trouble against the Sixers the previous two games against them. Granted, they didn't have Al Horford, but the previous two games against them, he, you know, scored 45 points more each time. You know, and then playing Al Horford in the playoffs, I think we were able to kind of shake off the idea that he is a Giannis stopper. I think that kind of went away in the playoffs last year. So I think that I'm going to be interested to see how this matchup goes over the course of the season. They still meet three more times. It's not like they go from tomorrow or from yesterday's game straight to the playoffs. I mean, they have three more matchups with each other. So let's see how those go, and then we can kind of assess where the state of the, you know, the matchup lies going into the playoffs.
as you can imagine, even after 31 points yesterday, the fan base, at least through my Twitter mentions, not happy with Chris Middleton. Do you think the Bucks are a piece away, or do you think at the deadline they need to get another guy that can maybe get his own bucket in the fourth quarter or could create his own shot? Or do you think this team is fine as is? I know it's early, it's just a one regular season game, but people, of course, freaking out about Chris Middleton per usual.
Yeah, that's just nonsense.
He had 31 points.
Yeah, and I don't know who that guy is, like, that you're trying to trade for that's going to do all those things.
Right.
Those are the guys that teams want and don't want to get rid of. But at the same time, you know, Chris Middleton, through three quarters, which, you know, you can cut out the fourth quarter stats if you want, because it's okay. Like, Sixers had kind of given up, said, hey, let's just cruise to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just look at through the first three quarters, Chris Middleton was 7 of 14 from the floor with 18 points, and I think it was 2 of 5 on 3. Like, that's all really good. Like, that's like, you know, definitely really, I mean, that's as good or better than what Tobias Harris was doing in that same amount of time. So if you want to tell me that, you know, Chris Middleton is not great because he's not as good as Tobias Harris, they both got, like, you know, a ton of money last summer, then I would point to that. But at the same time, like, yesterday's game wasn't about, you know, like, necessarily really anyone on the Bucks playing poorly other than Giannis, and that's going to happen sometimes. You know, Giannis is amazing. He does incredible things night in and night out. But there are also some days where you have to say, you know what? He didn't have it. Like, when Giannis is 8 of 27, you know what Chris Middleton can't do on 27 of those possessions? Take a shot. Because Giannis was taking the shot. And he can't score for Giannis. He just can't make it happen. So, you know, could he have done a little bit more? Sure. I think everybody could have. But I think a lot of the game had to do with the fact that Giannis just couldn't, you know, find his way to get any shots to fall inside, outside. He was just having a hard time. And, you know, I think if Chris Middleton scores 5 or 10 more points in the first three quarters, it would have been an incredible game from him. But I don't know that it changes the whole dynamic of the game.
Hey, man, I know it's awesome. The Bucks again, back-to-back years, they're playing on Christmas Day. But I want to ask you, as a reporter, as a writer, what is it like for you? Have you already celebrated Christmas with your family? I mean, do you celebrate beforehand? Do you celebrate today? How do you work this out now that you've got to be on the road covering the Bucks on Christmas Day?
Yeah, so last year I was able to take them with me on the trip, which worked out really great. This year, since the Bucks had a Saturday, Sunday back-to-back, that means they never practice, you know, the day after back-to-back. So we used that Monday to kind of have our own little Christmas celebration and do things then, because I flew out on Christmas Eve. Though, you know, being in Philly, I totally forgot that a lot of places close early on Christmas Eve,
which makes
a ton of sense. But I, you know, last year we were in New York and we went out to a whole bunch of like Christmas related places and like an ice rink and all that, and like nothing was closed. But then in Philly, as of like 4 or 5 o'clock, it was getting harder and harder to find places to eat, and I was like, oh man, I waited too long for dinner. So, you know, I had to figure that out. So that was a challenge. But other than that, you know, things have been okay. And now I'm in the airport again, heading down to Atlanta for the Bucks game Friday.
Nice, man. You get to live on the road. Nothing better during the holiday season, right? Thanks, Matt. Enjoy your holiday, man. Thanks for giving us some time today.
Absolutely. Yeah, Merry Christmas to you guys, too.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. That's Matt Velasquez. Find his work at the Journal Sentinel. He joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Then look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935.